Thank you for joining with us here at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in County Fermanagh. Whoever you are listening in this evening, our prayer is that God's precious word will be a blessing and an encouragement and challenge to your heart and soul. Now, due to the coronavirus situation, all our public services have been cancelled until further notice, but you can listen in online to our ministry of God's word every Sunday, that's every Lord's Day at 12 noon, and also at 7 p.m., and then every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock or 8 p.m. as well. And we're just going to unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, and I would encourage you, wherever you are listening in, just to join with us in prayer and pray that God will draw near to your heart this evening and speak through His word to your heart as the Lord Himself alone would see our particular need. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we do bow before Thee this evening in the name of Thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And O God, we thank Thee afresh for Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, for Him who died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee for His once for all sacrifice for sinners upon the cross. And we thank Thee that Christ is indeed the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We thank Thee, O God, for that full and free salvation that is found in Jesus Christ and is obtained by trusting Him alone for salvation. And O God, we thank that we can call Thee Abba, our Father, and through Christ, the Son of God. And we thank Thee, Father, for Thy mercies and blessings to us throughout this Thy day. We thank Thee for every good and perfect gift. We thank Thee for the blessing of the Lord's Day, this day of rest, and this day when we can spend time, O God, with Thee, around Thy word, and in the praise and in the worship of Thy name. And Lord, as we come even now to consider Thy word, our prayer is, O God, that Thou would just speak to our hearts, even as Thou alone would see our individual need. We thank Thee for all who are listening in online this evening. We pray that Thou would bless each and every believer, every child of God, encourage and strengthen and bless them and lead each one on with Yourself. Draw every child of God into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with Thee. Should there be any listening in, Lord, and they're cold at heart, maybe afar off from God, speak to them and draw them afresh unto Thyself. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art married to the backslider, that there is no divorce with God. And also for any listening in unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that Thou would have mercy upon them, that Thou would enlighten their minds in the knowledge of Christ, and that by Thy Holy Spirit and through the going forth of Thy word, that even tonight they might be made wise unto salvation. We thank that Christ has promised, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We think of those especially connected with our church here that are old and infirm and shut in. We pray that Thou wilt bless them, minister to them, encourage them, touch them physically, bless them in their hearts and souls as Thou would see their individual need. We think again of those who mourn and grieve. We pray that they will know the comforting hand of God to be upon them. And bless every family and household connected, Lord, with this congregation. Do keep Thy protecting hand upon every family in these days. And Lord, unite every household and family circle in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Lord, our prayer would be that Thou will have mercy upon our land at this time. We pray, Lord, that Thou would cause the spread of this virus, Lord, to cease. We realize that Thou art one who is almighty and all-powerful. Thou hast but to speak the word and it shall be done. We pray, O Lord, for those that are ill through this virus. Lord, spare them and touch them and raise them up, we ask of Thee. Remember others that have even lost as a result of this virus. Comfort those families today, especially in a mighty way. And Father, we pray, O God, for those in our medical services, doctors, nurses, and those working in our hospitals. Keep Thy protecting hand, O God, upon them. And Lord, watch over them, we pray. Give great wisdom even to our government at this time. And Lord, may they do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Have mercy, O God, upon our land. We pray that in these days in which we live, there'll be a turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord. We pray for days of revival and quickening and a great outpouring of thy Spirit, O God, across our land and across our nation. Bless our missionaries also this evening, that those that labor at home here in Northern Ireland and those further afield in different continents of the world, bless them and protect them, we pray, and watch over them and meet their every need. Be with us now, we pray, as we consider thy word. We thank thee at the entrance of thy word that it bring of light. And Lord, our prayer would be that even through the going forth of thy precious word this night, that some soul might be made wise unto salvation. Be with us now as we read thy word, and as we minister thy word, give help. Pour out thy Holy Spirit, we pray, upon this preacher and upon all who would listen in, we pray, and in everything that is said and done, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and we're reading from the verse number 16 down through to the end of the verse number 34. Now, I would encourage you, wherever you are listening in online tonight, to open up your Bible and read along with us. We're reading from Acts chapter 16 and beginning our reading at the verse number 16 of the chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, but show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 34. Our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. The two verses I want us to look at in particular this evening is verse 30 and verse 31 again of Acts chapter 16. Let me read those two verses with you again. It says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now tonight I want us to consider one of the most dramatic conversions to Christ that you read about in the New Testament scriptures. This conversion is none other than that of the jailer at Philippi, and its record is one that is great instruction for us all. The chapter tells us about Paul and Silas, who were missionaries for God in the city of Philippi. And because of their faithful testimony in preaching the gospel, they were beaten. And then they were put in prison. And in the midst of such adversity, they were able to pray and to praise God. If you look at verse 25 of the chapter, you'll see that it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." And there's a wonderful lesson there for every Christian, and it is this: in the darkest of times, the believer can still praise God, and the believer can pray to God. In response to their prayers, God steps into the situation in a most remarkable way. Verse 26 of the chapter says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." There you see how God answers their prayers very suddenly and very powerfully by sending an earthquake, and the prison house is opened. And again, this would show every Christian that prayer is indeed a powerful weapon. It is no vain thing for the Lord's people to pray. It has been said that prayer is that which moves the very hand of God. But believer in Christ, always remember that there's power in prayer, and that prayer changes things. We're told then from the chapter how the prison keeper awakes from a sleep, and indeed, thinking that the prisoners have fled, he is on the verge of taking his own life. And again, can I say in that matter that it is wrong for a person to take their own life? Suicide is wrong. Suicide is a sin. The sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." And that means that it is wrong for you and I to take another person's life. And it is also wrong for us to take our own life. Means that we are to preserve a life. And my, whenever this man was on the verge of taking his own life, it is then that Paul cries out with a loud voice in verse 28, and he says to this jailer, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And such was Paul's love for this man's soul, this man who was really his captor, that he did not want him to come to any harm or come into any danger. And then in verse 29, we read of how the keeper of the prison, he falls down trembling before Paul and Silas. And again, this would really show us how God is able to break the hardest of hearts. If you look at verse 29 there in the chapter in your Bible, it says, "Then he called for a light," that's the jailer, "and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." Then following on from that in verse 30, this jailer, he asked the most important question that he was ever to ask in his entire life. And the question was this: "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the answer that he received from Paul and Silas was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And the result of this answer is that this man is gloriously saved by the grace of God. He is saved in a moment in time by the mighty power of God in salvation. Just as the words of verse 30 were the most important question this jailer ever asked in his life, so this same question, "What must I do to be saved?" is the most important question that you and I could ever ask ourselves as well. We can say that this is indeed the question of all questions, because it concerns our personal relationship with God. Also, this is a question that will really determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or whether you spend eternity in hell. And that is why this question is so important. As we think then upon this great question, what must I do to be saved? There are really two important points that I want us to consider in relation to these words. First of all, I want you to think about the meaning of this question, what must I do to be saved? Now, its meaning can really be seen and emphasized in its importance. You see, this question was important because it concerned the salvation of the soul of this jailer. Now, we do not know if this jailer had any concern about his soul's salvation before he went to sleep that evening. But we do know from the Scripture, since he was awakened out of his sleep by God sending the earthquake, he was now a man in deep distress and concern about his own need to be saved. He was now convinced that he was a lost sinner before God and that he needed to be saved. Hence he asked this question, what must I do to be saved? He asked this question because he realized he himself was in great danger and in great peril. And my, this peril was that he was under the sentence of God's wrath and condemnation because of his sin. You see, over in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 18 and in the verse 36, there the Word of God says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And this is how it was with this jailer. He was already a condemned sinner before God. He was under the sentence of God's wrath and condemnation. And because of this, this jailer now realized that unless he was saved from his sin, he would be lost in hell forever, lost without hope, and indeed without God. And friend, let me say to you this evening that if you still are not saved, then please understand that your plight is just the same as this jailer. Yes, because of your sin, you too are under the sentence of divine judgment. And if you die in your sin, your soul will be lost in hell forevermore. In this book of the Psalms, number 9, in the verse number 17, the Word of God says, there the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And those same words apply to you as well if you leave this world in an unsaved state and condition before God. There's a little children's chorus we often sing, and it says this, it says, I've a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my heart and on my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost should my soul be lost and in hell if I die as I am. Well, this was a truth that was now engraved upon the heart of this jailer many years ago in the city of Philippi. And my prayer is that this same truth will be engraved on your heart and your mind also as you listen in tonight. Yes, we can say this was an important question, but its meaning can also be seen in the fact that it was a personal question. You see, whenever the jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? He is telling us that he realized that salvation for him was a personal matter. He knew that he personally needed to be saved from his sins. You see, for him to hear the gospel, indeed to hear about others being saved, was not enough in Philippi. He knew that a personal transaction had to take place between him and God if ever he was to be saved.
The dying thief upon the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ was a man with a similar concern. For in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, in the verse number 42, he cried out to Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He knew that he personally needed to be saved. And whoever you are as you listen in this evening, let me say, let me emphasize to you that salvation is a personal matter between you and God. And if you are to be saved, there must be personal dealings with God. There must be personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ in your own heart and life and soul. For you to go to a church that preaches the gospel is not enough to save you. To know about God's salvation is not enough to save you. To give to charity is not enough to save you. To be baptized or confirmed or dedicated as a child or to sit at the Lord's table, these things are not enough to save your soul. To friends and relatives and family members who are saved, that is not enough to save you. No, you must be personally saved yourself if you are to be right with God and if you are to be ready for heaven. During the times of election in our land and nation, we often hear of people voting by proxy. Someone can vote for you. Or you can vote on the behalf of someone else. Well, let me say that there is no such thing as salvation by proxy. If you are to be saved, you must have a personal saving encounter with God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, and realize this, that on the judgment day, Christ will disown you. And you will hear that awful sentence from his lips, which he warns you about in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 23. And he says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a solemn sentence to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then as we look a little further at this question, its meaning can also be seen in its urgency. You see, whenever this jailer asked this question, "What must I do to be saved?" he was speaking in the present tense. He wanted to be saved there and then. There was danger and death and delay for him. You see, if the prisoners were to escape from the prison under his authority, then under Roman law, he would have been killed in an instant. And if he was to die in his sin, then he would have no hope of heaven. All hope of being saved would be lost and gone. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that whenever a person dies in their sin, all hope of that person ever being saved and ever being in heaven is gone forever. When a person dies unsaved, they are beyond the pale of God's mercy. When a person dies unsaved, they are beyond the reach of God's salvation. In Psalm 36, in the verse number 12, it says there are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. And my, no one can help the ungodly when they leave the scene of time without salvation. And let me warn you that no one will be able to help you also if you leave this world unsaved, if you leave this world in your sin, if you leave this world without God's so great salvation. Therefore, this question, "What must I do to be saved?" it is also an urgent question for you to consider even now tonight. Wherever you are as you listen in online, can I say this is not a question for you to put off until tomorrow or next week? For you may never see the light of another day. Think of the warning of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 27 and the verse number 1. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You think of the many that are killed and die suddenly in our society, even in the very prime of life. Think of the thousands right across our world at this time who are dying because of this coronavirus. And the reality is that you and I could be the next person on that very list. Therefore, now in time, you need to prepare to meet God. Yes, now is the time for you to prepare to meet God and indeed to get right with God. Now is the time for you to be saved. Indeed, the Bible counsels you to do so by saying in Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Yes, we see the meaning of this question. But then secondly this evening, I want you also to consider with me the answer to this question. You look again at verse 31 of Acts chapter 16. And the answer this jailer receives was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." In one sentence, Paul and Silas, they preached the most remarkable of sermons. It was not a long sermon. It was not a long-winded message of do's and don'ts for this jailer. It was not a message that was hard for him to understand. No, it was very short. It was pointed. It was the very message that this jailer needed to hear. It was the message, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You notice there the simplicity of this answer. Paul simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This jailer was told that all that he needed to do to be saved from his sin was to trust in Christ as a repentant sinner. He was told to trust in no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not told to trust in his works or in the ordinances of the church. He was not told to trust in anything of self or of money or of man. No, the message to this jailer was, put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And you know, as he spake this answer, Paul himself knew what he was talking about. You see, many years before, he himself, as a hell-deserving sinner on the road to Damascus, he repented of his sin and he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a saving encounter with God's Son, the Lord Jesus, and he himself was gloriously saved. And such was the reality of the Lord's saving power in his life that he could say to Timothy on another occasion in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse number 12, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul never forgot the day that the Lord saved him. And friend, let me say that if you are to be saved from your sins and the ruin of your sin, then you too can only be saved by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. And the verses number 8 and the verses number 9. Look at these two tremendous gospel verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And there that verse tells how you can only be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by faith in Christ that you can enter into God's salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In verse 6 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, Christ himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And being the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left heaven's glory. He came down into this world and he died an atoning death upon the cross for the sins of all of his people. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse number 12, it speaks of Christ, And it says, but this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And by his perfect sacrifice, Christ, he appeased the wrath of God that was against us for our sins. And by this, a way of salvation was provided. And this salvation is for all, whoever they are, who will confess their sins to Christ and trust in him alone and trust in his finished work, in his sacrifice alone for their salvation. Tell me tonight, are you longing to be saved from your sin? Then I urge you to look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him alone, who is the Lamb of God for salvation. He encourages you to do so. In Isaiah chapter 45, in the verse 22, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, heed tonight the message of the hymn writer who says, look and live, look to Jesus now and live. Oh, may you do so tonight. But then as we think further of this answer, notice also its certainty. Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the promise to this jailer was that if he looked by faith to Christ, there and then he would be saved in a moment of time. My, there and then he would have his sins forgiven. There and then he would be set on the road to heaven. There would be no delay. He would not have to wait until his deathbed, until he knew whether he was saved or not. This certainty of being saved, it applies to all who come to saving faith in Christ for salvation. Yes, their salvation is sure. Their salvation is certain. Listen to the words of Christ in John's Gospel chapter 5 and the verse number 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, the moment you and I trust in Christ for salvation, we have everlasting life. We are delivered from the condemnation and the ruin of our sin and hell. Whenever you go to the hole-in-wall machine at your bank or wherever, you go in faith. You type in your PIN number and you trust the bank to give out the money that you have requested. Well, the moment you go to Christ, you trust him for salvation, you shall be saved forever. You'll not be disappointed, or you'll not be turned away. Turn with me in your Bible back to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter number 6. And look with me, please, at verse number 37. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's the promise of Christ. If you come to him for salvation, he will not cast you out. He will not turn you. He'll take you in. He will save you. This is how it was with the dying thief who was crucified beside the Lord. He came in faith to Christ. And he was gloriously saved. For Christ said to him in Luke chapter 23, in the verse number 43, he says, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who saves in a moment of time. And then he keeps you for an eternity of time. And this was the case with this jailer. And proof of his salvation is seen in what you read about him in verse number 33 and verse number 34 of Acts chapter 16. Those verses say, and he took them, that's Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And there you see there was an evident change now in the life of this jailer. He shows compassion to his prisoners, Paul and Silas. He bathes their wounds. He sets meat before them. You see, he was saved. The change had been wrought in his heart and life by the mighty grace of God. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and the verse number 17. Look at what this verse says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and the verse number 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, there was now a change in this person's life. And trusting Christ for salvation, this jailer was now made a new creature in Christ Jesus by the grace of God. You also read about him there being baptized. Now, his baptism did not save him. Rather, it shows his newfound obedience to the Word of God in his life. It was an open testimony, confession before all that his sins are washed away through faith in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, if you look to Christ to be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ will do the same for you. He will pardon all your sins. He will give you grace to live for God and God's glory. He will change your life. He will break the chains of sin that bind your life. He will give you something worth living for, such as the grace of God and salvation. Turn with me again, please, in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9 and the verse number 8. Look at this tremendous verse. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And the Lord who saves you can keep you and enable you to live for the glory of God, such as his mighty grace and his mighty power. But then in the final place, notice also the sufficiency of this answer. For Acts chapter 16 and the verse number 31, Paul and Silas said to this jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Notice those final words, and thy house. Paul and Silas told this jailer that not only could Christ save him, but the Lord Jesus Christ could also save his very household, such as the sufficiency of the grace and power of Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is what the Lord did. Not only did he save this jailer, but he saved his whole household that very day. And you see evidence of that from verses 33 and verses 34. Note in particular the words, he and all his house, and the words, believing with all his house. Verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, that's he and all his household, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, notice these words, believing in God with all his house. And friend, this shows to you and I the sufficiency of Christ to save all who will trust him as Savior. Indeed, as you would listen to this very message, realize that you too can be saved, no matter who you are, no matter what your past sin may be. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you as well. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed upon the cross of Calvary to cleanse away from your sin has lost none of its ancient power. In 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7, it says there, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In Hebrews 13 and the verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your sin is or sin has been, I tell you the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you to the very uttermost. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 63, in the verse number 1, the Lord is speaking and he says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Oh, as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, remember this, that he's mighty to save. Light of the sufficiency of Christ to save. Unsaved listener, will you not come even this very night to Christ and trust him? Trust him for salvation. Trust him whom to know is life eternal. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross of Calvary. And by faith ask him to wash and cleanse away your sins by his precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, think of these words here in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, if you have never come to Christ tonight, may you believe on him to the salvation of your precious, never dying soul. Thank you for listening. And I pray that God's word will be a blessing to your heart and to your soul, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence with us around thy precious and holy word. And Father, we pray that thou would bless thy word, the message of the gospel to every heart that has listened in tonight. May it be a blessing and encouragement to every believer in the Lord. For any may be listening in cold at heart, draw them afresh to Christ in restoring grace and power. For any listening in to thy word still unconverted, still on that broad road to a lost eternity, Lord, speak to them. And even in their heart may they ask that question, what must I do to be saved? We thank thee, Lord, that the answer is still the same for them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Even through thy word this night, may there be those that will believe on Christ and trust him as their Savior. Answer prayer. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost, with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen.